Section 3. Using the Rank Raglan Reference Class. The name Jesus Christ literally means Savior, Messiah, which actually just means Anointed Savior. The author of the Gospel of Matthew was well aware of this and even made a point of it. Jesus is an English derivation from the Greek spelling of the Hebrew name Joshua, Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. Christ is from the Greek Christos, meaning anointed, which in Hebrew is Messiah, Messiah. That should make us suspicious from the start. Isn't his name abnormally convenient? The Christ part was assigned by those who believed he was the Messiah and thus not accidental. But what are the odds that his birth name would be Savior, and then he would be hailed as the Savior? Are historical men who are worshipped as Savior gods usually so conveniently named? No, not usually. Are mythical men who are worshipped as Savior gods usually so conveniently named? Surely more often than historical men are. Analogously, the mythical Abraham is conveniently named, father of many, in Genesis 17 verse 5, and his original name, Abram, exalted father, is no less convenient, similarly anticipating what he would become in the future, which doesn't tend to happen in the real world. Obviously, it's more likely that a mythical godman would be conveniently named than that a historical one would be. Indeed, I would expect the ratio must surely exceed 2-1, that is, for every deified man who is conveniently named, there are surely at least 2 mythical godmen with convenient names. And that even looks too generous to me. The actual ratio must surely be higher than 2-1. So if we settle on 2-1, any adjustment of the odds toward what they truly are will only make the historicity of Jesus less probable. And that would leave us with a prior probability of 33% that Jesus was historical, and 67%, therefore, that he was not. This remains the conclusion even if we start with a neutral prior of 50%. By assuming no historical facts in our background knowledge at all, and then start our analysis by introducing the fact of Jesus being a conveniently named deity, and all the background data pertaining to that, and work each item of evidence in individually, using the posterior probability from each as the prior probability in the next. To show what I mean, I will pick numbers at random just to illustrate how it won't matter in the end what those numbers are. First, we would find the reference class of all men, which would be divided between all mythical and all historical men. Suppose there were 5,000 historical men and 1,000 mythical men. Obviously, these are huge undercounts, but again, I just made these numbers up. As we'll see in a moment, it won't matter very much in the end what they actually are. The prior probability of being mythical would then be 1,000 divided by 6,000. In other words, 1,000 divided by the sum of that same 1,000 and the other 5,000. Which equals 1 in 6, or about 17%. And the prior probability of being historical would be 5,000 divided by 6,000, which equals 5 in 6, or about 83%. We would then add the evidence that Jesus was a God-man, a man worshipped as divine. Suppose 1 in 4 mythical men are God-men, and 1 in 2 historical men are God-men. That's absurd, of course, and makes Jesus even more likely to be historical, when surely it would be the other way around. But I'm going with this just to make my point that these numbers don't matter. The probability that Jesus would be a God-man, given that he was a mythical man, would then be 1 in 4, and the probability, given that he was a historical man, would be 1 in 2. The posterior probability that Jesus was historical would then be 240 divided by 264, which reduces to 60 divided by 66, or about 91%. We could then use that as our updated prior probability that Jesus is historical. And add the next item of evidence, that Jesus was conveniently named. In the imaginary scenario so far, there are 250 mythical godmen, that's 1/4 times 1,000, and 2,500 historical godmen, that's 1/2 times 5,000. If 10 mythical godmen are conveniently named, and twice as many mythical godmen are conveniently named as historical godmen are, then there are 5 historical godmen who are conveniently named. The probability, therefore, that Jesus would be conveniently named, given that he was a mythical godman, would be 10 divided by 250, which is 1 in 25. And the probability, given that he was a historical godman, would be 5 divided by 2500, which is 1 in 500. The posterior probability that Jesus was historical would then be 1 in 3, or the same 33% we started with, back when we just skipped all this and went straight to the reference class of all conveniently named godmen, in which 1 and 3 were historical and 2 and 3 not, because we concluded at least twice as many mythical godmen must have convenient names than historical godmen do. Change the ratio however you please, and the same reasoning will follow. So there is no getting around the fact that if the ratio of conveniently named mythical godmen to conveniently named historical godmen is 2 to 1 or greater, then the prior probability that Jesus is historical is 33% or less. But this is a hypothetical reference class of all conveniently named godmen. We don't have any clear or statistically solid data about the frequency of historical to non-historical persons in that class. I merely guessed, albeit reasonably, based on our total background knowledge, that coincidences are rarer in actual fact than in human invention. I guessed, that is, that the ratio of mythical persons to historical persons in that class is 2 to 1 or greater, and therefore the prior probability that a person in that class is historical is 1 in 3 or less. One might still question my intuitions here. Are coincidences of name really rarer in actual fact than in human invention? And even if rarer, how much rarer? And so on. In reality, I don't think these challenges are at all plausible. The fact is, it's simply less likely that a historical man would be conveniently named Savior and then become a Savior than that a mythical man created to be a Savior would be conveniently named Savior. Even if we tried to work the question from the probability of any Jew actually being named Jesus, which is roughly 1 in 26, in comparison to the probability of any Savior God being named Savior among that God's many names, and Jesus also had many names, from Christ to Lord to Emmanuel, we'd end up even worse off, because probably most Savior gods were called Savior, or Soter in Greek. I'd say that ratio is closer to 1 in 2, and that is over 10 times more likely than 1 in 26, not just 2 times more likely, as we were suggesting before. But again, we don't have clear or reliable data to build this result from. We'd just be working again from plausible but still hypothetical datasets. We could even avoid these conclusions altogether by retreating to the hypothesis that Jesus, like Christ, was never his real name, but a name assigned to him, even if by himself, and thus not a coincidence after all, but intentional. We can easily imagine this having happened to any of the Jesus Christs surveyed in Josephus, as we saw in Element 4, none of whom were named Jesus, so far as we know, but all of whom were casting themselves in the role of Jesus, that is, Joshua. And there are other things one could argue. So either way, I think this approach is shaky. Not so for the Rank Raglan reference class. That works just like a corporate mascot reference class would today. Counting as the Rank Raglan reference class, all heroes who score above half the total criteria, we have 14 members, besides Jesus who makes 15. We can ascertain that those are the only members, or at least there are no other known historical persons who are members, and adding mythical persons would only make the ensuing argument stronger by reducing the prior probability that any member of the class was historical. And we can conclude with reasonable certainty that none of those 14 members were ever historical persons. All of them are mythical. That means a historical Jesus is literally unique among all Rank Raglan heroes. So to assume he was the sole exception in human history would be a rather extraordinary claim. But since we cannot assume Jesus is non-historical, the probability that he is must be based on the law of succession from the uniform experience of the other 14 persons in the same class, which is s plus 1 divided by n plus 2. This is called Laplace's rule of succession. The variable s equals the number of confirmed cases of what we are looking for in the set of decided cases, in this case 0, as none of the 14 known cases are known to be historical, and the variable n equals the total number of cases in that set. Regardless of whether any are historical, there are 14 known Rank Raglan heroes, prior to adding the one not yet decided, which is Jesus. When we plug the numbers in, we get 0 plus 1 divided by 14 plus 2, which equals 1 divided by 16, which equals 0.0625, or barely 6%. That would be my lower bound for the prior probability that Jesus existed. Of course, fundamentalists would refuse to accept that Moses and Joseph are mythical, 2 of the 14 in that class. But that they are not historical is accepted by almost all secular experts in biblical antiquities, and even most religious experts, Jewish and Christian, and is pretty hard to deny on the evidence we have. Nevertheless, because I want to produce a prior probability as far against myth as I can reasonably believe it to be, so as to produce an argument a fortiori to my eventual conclusion, I will grant the fundamentalists their unwarranted assumption, even against our background evidence, and count Moses and Joseph as historical persons. Since it would be special pleading to assume that only Jewish heroes are special in that way, we should balance the scales and say that up to two of the pagans on the list may be historical as well. I am fairly certain that's not true. But again, I'm arguing a fortiori. And since only the count matters, it doesn't matter who the two are. That gives us four historical persons out of 14, which means the 15th member has a prior probability of being historical of s plus 1 divided by n plus 2, which equals 4 plus 1 divided by 14 plus 2, which equals 5 divided by 16, which equals 0.3125, or around 31%. I'll be additionally generous and just bump that up to an even 33%, or 1 in 3, the same probability I came up with from the coincidence of Jesus Christ's name. I cannot reasonably believe the prior probability is any higher than that, nor do I think anyone else can reasonably believe that. And so, that is my upper bound, which I will use as the prior probability that Jesus existed as a historical person from here on out. Again, even if we started from a neutral prior of 50% and walked our way through, quote, all persons claim to be historical, end quote, to, quote, all persons who became rank Raglan heroes, end quote, we'd end up again with that same probability of 1 in 3. For example, if again there were 5,000 historical persons and 1,000 mythical persons, the prior probability of being historical would be 5 out of 6, and of not being historical, 1 out of 6. But if there are 10 mythical men in the rank Raglan class and 5 historical men, the 4 we are granting plus one more who may or may not be Jesus, then the probability of being in that class given that someone was historical would be 5 out of 5,000, which is 1 out of 1,000. And the probability given that they were mythical would be 10 in 10,000, which is 1 in 100. This gives us a final probability of 1 in 3, hence 33%. No matter how you chew on it, no matter what numbers you put in, with these ratios, you always end up with the same prior probability that Jesus was an actual historical man, just 33% at best.